Hello, everyone. My name is Maryam Saleh, and this is the Middle East Today, coming to you from Beirut. With the wave of bombing still engulfing Syria, many fear that the job of the United Nations observers to the country will not be as effective as it should. The UN peacekeeping chief, Herve Latsouz, has accused both the government and armed groups in Syria of violating the UN Arab League peace plan. But was Mr. Kofi Annan's plan dead upon arrival, as some have called it? Now, to get more on this issue, I am joined by Mr. Hisham Jabir, retired Lebanese Army general and also strategy expert. He's joining me here in the studio. We're also joined by Mr. Talib Ibrahim, political analyst from Damascus. And also, I want to welcome Mr. Jeffrey bin Natan. He's a Middle East expert joining us from London. I want to welcome you all to the show. Let me begin with you, General Jabir. Do you think that the gradual stationing of United Nations observers has made any change in Syria since the beginning of the crisis inside the country?
Let me start from the beginning. The decision to send the observers was based on the resolution of Security Council 2042-43, and it said ceasefire. I don't think ceasefire is the right word to describe this. If you remember the resolution 1701, which stopped the military operation between Israel and Lebanon, said to stop military operation. It did not say
a cessation
ceasefire.
Of hostilities.
Why?
Yes.
Because America did not want to recognize the resistance and give it a legality. Now they came with the expression ceasefire. Ceasefire means between two parties recognized by the international society and by the United Nations. Even though Syria did not protest about this expression and did accept what they said, so-called ceasefire. From the beginning, we haven't been personally, and many observers, they haven't been very optimistic about the success of the Kofi Annan plan, because you have two sides. One side is the government has only one decision maker and could be responsible before the United Nations and the international community. Mm-hmm. What about the other side?
Well, they did blame both sides for breaching the ceasefire, so it seems the United Nations is being a neutral partisan in this.
Yes, what I'm trying to say, that you have in one side a government has only one side and one decision maker. On the other side, we have many groups of insurgents who don't have at all one leadership. What so-called the Free Syrian Army, if we suppose that it will obey, it will respect the ceasefire, what about several group of insurgents who doesn't belong to the opposition in Syria, like Al-Qaeda and other insurgent group of insurgents who came from Iraq, from Lebanon, from Libya, make, you know, terrorism operation against Syria.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned this point, because I want to talk about it. But let me first go to Damascus. Let me ask Mr. Talib Ibrahim. Mr. Ibrahim, both sides, the Syrian army and armed groups, have been accused of breaching the ceasefire. What can you tell us about the situation on the ground? Do we see that many soldiers are retrieving, are withdrawing from the cities, or are they still there?
As we've seen in the last days, that the armed groups who are working in Syrian territories, they are violating the ceasefire, and they have mounted their attacks against the government, against the government forces, against substructures, and there are a lot of explosions which have the prints of Al-Qaeda, such what had happened in Idlib and somehow nearby Damascus, and they are trying to make a real war inside the capital, Damascus. There are a lot of attacks, explosions, etc., etc. That means there are some parties in the region and the international community, some parts do not want that to an end plan to succeed. They want to foil this and to undermine the state of Syria. We are very sure of that. And I can see now here, very frankly, that the problem is not inside Syria. The problem is outside Syria. They are regional forces. They want to see more and more violence and instability inside Syria, like what we have seen. They are trying to bring more and more weapons and some heavy weapons to the militant groups inside Syria. That means the international community and Security Council must take his responsibilities about regards to what is happening in Syria. If the Syrian government is able to make ceasefire and this government is ready to make political resolution of the others in the Saudi Arabia, Qatar, United States, Israel, etc. They are not concerned indeed in any political resolution. They want for more and more violence. They are looking for more and more escalating in the states. So Security Council must have a new resolution to forbidden any kind of weapons transforming to Syria, any kind of military action inside Syria. So I think we must try to find such a resolution, and the regional forces, international forces, must be very much concerned about that, and it must, of course, change their positions. Otherwise, the crisis in Syria should be longer and longer, and we will find and we will see in the future more and more violence. But yes. Anyhow, Syrian army is able to control all Syrian territories and by fire. But this is what we don't want it. We want a political resolution. We want to keep the souls and the bloods of our citizens.
Yes. Are you saying that the Syrian army still has to use fire in order to try and control the situation in some areas inside Syria?
Yes, Syrian army is very much able to control the situation, and he's trying to avoid any war because the enemy is not inside Syria. The enemy is not even those militants. The real enemy to Syrian army and to Syrian state is Israel. These groups are working as a criminals, and I think they cannot make any problem to the state. The problem is in the others who are supporting, who are financing, who are by media, etc., providing more and more support to these groups. If the others outside Syria will stop from supporting them, from backing all the operations inside Syria, I think the political resolution, we can reach it very, very easily. Anyhow, I am sure of the ability of Syrian security forces and Syrian army to control all the lands of the state,
yes.
Especially except some areas in the borders. And the borders, if you want to control borders, you have two sides, like the borders of Lebanon. Lebanese army must make procedures. Syrian army will make procedures. Procedures will be able to prevent any military transfer. Otherwise, the problem in Syria will have some more and more time, but at the end, we can make complete control.
Yes, thank you. Let me go to Mr. Benatan in London. Now, the fact that we have half the number of military observers inside Syria, and not enough, of course, for the plan to take suit. Do you think that many United Nations members, especially the West and the United States, have raised concerns, especially with the wave of bombings taking place, that there is an al-Qaeda threat that could threaten their troops and their observers inside the country?
Well, Mariam, I really don't know too much about the detail of whether al-Qaeda is involved. But people here in the West are absolutely alarmed at the loss of innocent civilian life in many of the cities in Syria. And the hope was that 300 the United Nations observers would make a very big difference. And in any of these situations, it's almost impossible to say who started, who was the first, and so on. One side is always going to blame the other. And we need the glare of publicity, which is probably the only factor that will stop the violence. And that publicity will come from the reports of the United Nations observers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the point that I want to make is that the observers inside Syria are still not enough. in order to help the plan, help Mr. Kofi Annan's plan work. For example, the needed number of military observers is 300. Only 150 have so far made their way to inside Syria. And many United Nations members have not provided enough observers. Why do you think that is? Do you think they are concerned? Do you think that they don't want to have themselves under fire in that inside that country and prefer to be working perhaps politically outside?
Well, I think probably for all those reasons, Mariam, absolutely right. Some of the countries will be frightened for the security of their observers, and others are being dilatory. But until we get that number of 300, the violence almost certainly will continue, and this is very terrible.
All right, let me come back to Mr. Jaber. Do you think that the West will probably not want to play a role in the United Nations peace plan, Mr. Kofi Annan's plan, prefer to play it in a different way, perhaps through summits like Istanbul and through their cooperations with Turkey and Qatar and Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, I can't really, I'm not sure that if they don't want the Western, maybe they want to use other nationalities. But the mission is very critical, it's very dangerous. And in my opinion, it's not a matter of number, if they are 300 or 600 or 1,000. The important thing is the goodwill, if really want the goodwill. Mm-hmm. Second, and the mission. And their mission, when they send them, is very, there is controversy about it and paradox. On one hand, they ask, they want to be free and they want to go wherever they want without any permission from the Syrian government. On the other hand, they want the Syrian government to be responsible about their security. They are working in very dangerous area and their mission is very critical. Second, mm-hmm. and when we say ceasefire, you have on one hand, as we said, the regime and the army. Another hand, the opposition. What about the insurgent who doesn't belong to the insurgent? We may call them the third party, which may not obey to this ceasefire and no control on it from any side. For example, as we said, many group of insurgents moved from Lebanon, moved from Iraq, from Jordan, and some of them, they belong to Al-Qaeda. United States of America did not deny the presence of Al-Qaeda in Syria, mm-hmm. and Al-Qaeda itself did not deny its presence. It's very complex and complicated.
And do these countries, I mean, United States, France, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, do you think they approve of Al-Qaeda elements, or they wanted things to move in their own way through the so-called Free Syrian Army and other armed groups and so on? Do you think that the issue of Al-Qaeda just got out of hand?
No, Al-Qaeda, really, it's not clear. Of course, Al-Qaeda work by itself. It doesn't belong officially to any regime. But everybody knows that Al-Qaeda received some support, and especially financial support, from many countries, especially some Arab countries. Indirectly, maybe from private sector, if I don't want to say from the government. So if we want really to stop the fire in Syria, we have to ask those countries to put, you know, to do the maximum to make pressure on the groups of insurgents, whether it is the Free Syrian Army or the other insurgents, in order to accept and to respect the ceasefire. Mm-hmm. And as we said, the Syrian side is one single leadership and decision maker.
Whereas the opposition
and
is still divided.
Is different. Mm-hmm.
All right, let me ask Mr. Talib Brahim. I want to ask you about the upcoming parliamentary elections due on the 7th of May. Do you think that this will be a beginning for the next political phase, if we may say, of the situation inside Syria? You think it will change anything on the ground, bring more legitimacy to the Syrian government?
First, let me say something. I have a little comment. Yes, I have confidential information that at least 1,000 of the most dangerous fighters of Al-Qaeda from Saudi Arabia nationality are working inside Syria. They were fighting in Afghanistan and in Iraq. And Saudi intelligence pushed them to inside Syria, and they are receiving a heavy financial and logistic support from Saudi Arabia, from Turkey, from other parties in the region. According to the situation inside Syria, I think now we are in a critical point and in a critical time. Kofi Annan Bland has a very, very great chance to succeed. But if these militant groups will continue in their actions, I think the responsibility of the states and security forces is to defend the lives of the Syrian citizens. Now we cannot expect a very, very close resolution or a very close stability in Syria. We expect now the situation in Syria, and especially the violence, should be mounted more and more in the few 10 coming days. We have a parliamentary elections, and there are a lot of mounting, and there now we are sure that all of these groups are not so potential and not so effective in the ground, but at the same time, they have been more and more weak, but they mounted their attacks, and they are trying to make a lot of violence inside the capital and inside some cities.
All right. How about the parliamentary elections? Do you look forward to these elections? Do you think they will be important for the Syrian government, as I said, to gain more legitimacy in the global spectrum?
These parliamentary elections are very important, I think, and it might be able to make some change in the political life in Syria. This is the first time we have elections after the constitution, and we have some hot spots inside Syria, Daraa, Idlib, Homs, the election there, and in Hama, and somehow in there, so the elections might be a little difficult, but anyhow, the Syrian people, they want to go to their elections, and they are looking more for their future, to make resolution by political means, by political way, and to avoid any external intervention in the internal issue of Syria. These elections are the 7th of May coming, and I think it may reveal a new political map inside Syria. We expect some forces to emerge. Some forces may go back, etc., etc. Anyhow, security situation now is making some pressure on these elections. But at the end, the election will take place, and we are looking to make a real step towards more and more democracy inside Syria.
All right, Mr. Bin Nathan, now some countries like France, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, perhaps even the United States have been somewhat pessimistic about the United Nations plan. Do you think that they have another plan they prefer to go to? Although we see that the security solution has failed so far, why not go to the political solution and even cooperate with countries like Russia and China?
Well, The problem is that it's become a complete and utter and total mess. First of all, the elections on May the 7th, I would love to be wrong, I really would love to be wrong, but it seems to me that they are a question of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. You know that illusion. Mm-hmm. Unless they can produce a parliament with a majority in there which could represent a change in the leadership of Syria, then it's going to be purely a paper parliament and so on. If, of course, the president can show that he's actually got a majority honestly elected in the country, then presumably he would deserve to continue to rule. But the degree of revolt against his rule in many of the cities of Syria suggests strongly that he may not have that command. As regards other means of solving the problem, I would love to be able to give you some sort of wonderful vision, but I suspect there isn't one. I'm sorry.
All right. Let me go back to Syria, Mr. Talib Brahim. Do you look forward to Mr. Annan's plan politically, if we may say, if we have now the observer's mission? When will the political part of this plan begin?
About coffee and plan, I think there will be to separate more and more observers in the land. And the plan is going as have been decided before. We think that the last report, which we are expecting from Annan, will reveal some facts about what is happening on the ground. We hope, Mr. Annan, to say there are a lot of violations made by some militant groups. And as I said in the first part of the program, we are looking for a new Security Council resolution to prevent and to forbid any kind of military intervention inside Syria, because the problem now and is not in Syria, it's in the regional forces and in the others who are supporting this terrorist group and who are trying to escalate the violence inside Syria.
Yes, will the Syrian government cooperate or extend a hand to the opposition, which is willing to have dialogue with the government?
Of course, the dialogue should be started as soon as possible. When we are talking about opposition, we are talking about political opposition, which the opposition who believes in the state of Syria, but there are some opposition do not believe in that. They want to undermine the Syrian state. They want to serve foreign agenda, Israeli and American agenda. Other part of the opposition is one pure terroristic opposition, some branch of Al-Qaeda, Jund al-Sham, and they are very active on the ground. And the most of military attacks is done by these groups. They are trying to foil Annan plan. They don't believe in dialogue. They don't believe in others. They are Takfiri and Salafi. They came from Saudi Arabia, and they have a very strange method of thinking. This strange method of thinking wasn't known in Syria before, but I am sure that the Syrian society and the Syrian real political opposition refuse that. Everybody in Syria wants to see a political resolution and to regain the stability which were in Syria, and Syria were very famous in its stability and its security. Now Syrian society is very alive and very active.
Yes, thank you. Let me go back to Mr. Bin Nathan. We have heard statements from Israeli officials saying that any new government inside Syria would be more positive for Israel, and because they believe that it would be far away from any resistance movements in the region and away from Iran. Now, of course, observers inside Lebanon believe that Syria has been under this global campaign because it has been a supporter of resistance groups like Hezbollah and Hamas. What do you think about this? Is this based on tangible results that any new group that will come along, although the opposition is still divided, that any new government that would come to Syria would be away from these resistance groups?
Well, the first thing to say is that the Jewish state will not be a player in this. It will be on the sidelines watching. It, as far as I know, has not had any involvement whatsoever in the situation in Syria. Secondly, the border with Syria, with whom I haven't been able to hear your gentleman in Damascus, but I think I did hear him say that the real problem is the war with Israel. It's been one of the funniest wars because since 1967-73, the border with Syria has been the quietest border they've had. So the government of the Jewish state would be very concerned to keep that quietness still going, and the preservation of President Assad in power would seem to be in favor of that. On the other hand, they would love to see the demise of Hezbollah and the forces of Iran. But as I say, the main point is they will merely be spectators, and fate, other forces will dictate what happens.
All right. Final question for you, Mr. Jaber. Now, there was lately a ship that was confiscated by the Lebanese army off the shore, the Lebanese shores, and it seemed to have weapons being smuggled, allegedly being smuggled into Syria. Is this some kind of a plan? Who do you think is behind this?
First of all, it's not the first ship which met a traffic of weapons to Syria, but it's the first ship which has been captured. The question is, did the UNIFIL did not see before any ship, and now the Lebanese Navy did discover this, and the UNIFIL said did cooperate with the Lebanese Navy. The important is the continent of the kind of weapons on this ship, which is very sophisticated. And we learned that they had missiles against aircraft and missiles against armor, and they had many kind of sophisticated explosive like C4 and dynamite and etc.
Do you know what the source of these weapons are? Where did they come from?
We learned that it's not official that they came from Libya. Yes. And the Libya doesn't mean that the government of Libya gave it to them. The smuggle and the traffic and is going on and for economic reasons, not for political reasons. Of course, it needs political cover to do it. And we have to wait until the investigation to determine.
Unfortunately, our time has run out for now. Professor Hisham Jebel, I want to thank you very much for joining us. Mr. Jeffrey Ben Natan was also joining us in London. I also want to thank Mr. Talal Ibrahim joining us in Damascus. Our email is metoday@presstv.com. Stay with Press TV. Goodbye for now.